Welcome to the Roadmap to Wealth podcast, the number one show for people who are looking to learn how to create passive income and achieve financial independence for you and your family. I'm your host, Elena Morel, entrepreneur, international real estate investor, speaker, and author of Make Millions Retire Young, the ultimate global real estate investor's guide. Let's go now to today's episode. Welcome to another episode of Roadmap to Wealth podcast. Today we are going to talk with Cottrell Smith. Cottrell Smith is a real estate investor and asset protection attorney in Austin, Texas. He became an entrepreneur while still in law school, purchasing and running an auto mechanic shop to pay his way through school. After graduating, Scott began his law career as a high-stakes corporate litigator. He spent the last 8 years of his career analyzing real estate investment and asset protection. Today, Scott is the founder and CEO of Royal Legal Solution. Welcome, Scott. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's great to be here with you. I've really spent a long time in my career on the side of what do people do with real estate? How do people protect wealth? And I'm happy to share all the secrets that I've learned along my own career and learning how to do this for myself and that I share with my thousands of clients across the country. So great to be here.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming here. So tell me about the time you started your business. How did it all started?
Yeah, so I was actually in law school. It was during my second year, and the opportunity came with a partner there in school to, he had experience running the actual doing the mechanic work on the shop. Yeah. And I like the real estate investment. So I said, well, shit, you know, let's buy it and see if we can repair the building and run the business. And, we rehabbed both. We literally rebuilt the walls of the repair shop. I used some techniques I had learned from Tim Ferriss to get into the local newspaper to get on the front page of the paper to drive business because we couldn't afford advertising. Mm-hmm. And then over the course of those 2 years, we rebuilt the business, we rebuilt the shop, and then we flipped it at the end to pay off our law school debts to graduate from law school without any debt.
It's absolutely amazing experience. It had to be very inspiring, I think, for the young person who are hearing us. So what was the most difficult challenge you had in your business?
Well, a lot of it actually had to do with lawsuits, really. So one of the things that we found out really soon and early on was that litigation became a big part of the business. We were dealing with high-end repairs. So we're doing transmission work and sometimes for commercial buildings. Sometimes those are $5,000 to $40,000 jobs that we're working on. And sometimes that there would be disagreements about like the quality of the repair.
I know. It's always like this. Yes, constructors are, and they are very big headache. Yes, you have to select them. You have to trust them. You have to work with them. You have to grow with them. Yes.
Yeah. Well, what we did is we used some of our legal experience. That was my first, I didn't know it at the time, but that was my first experience with asset protection. What we did is we would intentionally create these companies that would not, by design, not own any assets. Mm-hmm. And those would be the companies that would end up contracting with the commercial entities that we were doing the repairs for. Then our main business, A1 Transmission and Auto Repair, was a subcontractor of our other company. Okay. So whenever there would be these lawsuits that would come up, we were in a very good position because their lawsuit was against a company that didn't have any assets and that all of the work and all of the actual assets were owned by a separate company. And these are actually the fundamental practices of asset protection, where you use two different companies. You use one company that owns all of the assets and you use a completely separate company that does all of the transactions. Because when something goes wrong, they sue the company that did the transactions because that's the one that they had the connection with. That's the one that signed the contracts. And in this way, you're actually able to level the playing field and not even have to really care about lawsuits if you structure it correctly from the beginning.
It's absolutely amazing advice, actually. And I think our listeners have to take this into consideration. It's very interesting and can save a lot of money, I think. So what makes you feel passionate about your business?
Well, the transmission and auto repair shop was just super fun. It was really exciting. Just like I'm sure everybody else, you know, out there, that gets into the business, you start to make money and you start to see the way things are working, you start to have some success. And all of a sudden, you know, that reengages the passion of it, And what I didn't know about along the way, and what a lot of my other colleagues and even in that industry didn't realize, is that there was all these fundamental tools they could be using to make their life so much better. And I found the same thing to be true with what I do here with Royal Legal. So that was my first foray into real estate investing way back during law school. Since then, I've always been active in real estate investing, and I had to learn how to do all of the asset protection and all the bookkeeping, insurance, all of those things for myself. And what I found out was is that as I scaled in my properties that I own, mm-hmm. I ran into a lot of challenges. I wasn't really sure exactly what the perfect asset protection scheme was. I wasn't exactly the banking and the bank accounts and all of that became a real headache while I was still trying to work a job. I'm trying to do all these other things and turn it into a real pain. And then there was all the issues with like insurance and tenants and contracts and all of that. So when I left my, I did my 2 years in litigation work suing insurance companies, which was super fun because come to find out insurance companies are great at collecting premiums and not wanting to pay out when it comes time for them to do it. So we'd sue them. I went back into just doing real estate full time. And what I found really quickly was that all of the people that were here in Austin ran into the same challenges that I did, but they just didn't have the background to put it all together like I did. So that's what I ended up doing. I ended up starting to share what I had done with people, and then they wanted to hire. I thought I was leaving my law job to go into real estate investing. And instead what I did is I built a legal practice while being a real estate investor. And that's what Royal Legal has come to be.
Absolutely amazing. Thank you very much. Tell me about the project that you consider to be the most significant in your life.
Well, this is really it. I mean, Royal Legal is really the most important thing that I've ever built. And we've grown incredibly fast by being able to help investors and entrepreneurs all over the country. Everybody that's just even from people that are starting out and are looking for just the basic pieces to be put together, but want to make sure they're done right, all the way to the people that have, you know, 25 million plus in assets. The same tools that I've been able to build together kind of fit together like Lego pieces. So you can start with one foundation and then just continue to build on that foundation without ever having to redo everything. And I think that's one of the main people's major concerns. And so in doing that requires quite a bit of forethought on how do you do that, right? And that's where my intellectual property or project of what to create there has really come to fruition on creating something that's really new and different and extremely powerful for real estate investors and entrepreneurs all over the United States.
What is the best experience you've had since you became an entrepreneur?
The best experience is really the pleasure I get out of getting all of the thanks from people. You know, maybe that's just my ego or something, but
it's absolutely normal, you know?
Yeah. What I found out was that a lot of people, they know they need to do something, right? They know they need to do something with the estate planning to help take care of their children. You know, if they have children, they know that like, if they don't take care of that, the government actually makes all of those decisions of what happens with their assets and who takes care of their kids.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do, right? And they know that like, oh, I can do some stuff with protecting myself to make sure that, you know, all the wealth that I'm building now doesn't evaporate from a single lawsuit, which I've had a friend of mine who lost over $3 million from a single lawsuit. It's devastating.
And
he didn't have to, if he would have just taken some simple measures, but like many people out there, it would just became confusing of what the right thing to do was. So the greatest pleasure I have is everybody that comes in contacts with Royal Legal gets to have this experience of knowing exactly what it is they need to put together, know that it's going to be a very efficient solution. That's what makes us so it's such a powerful company, is that our focus is always on efficiency and both what costs are as well as how much time does it take for us to actually manage an entity once it's together, because that's really a true cost as well. And once these things are put in place, people go from having an experience that's, you know, they're unsettled, they know they need to do something, they've accumulated some wealth, they think that it's at risk potentially, and they want to have that taken care of. And then by the time that they're finished working with us, in just as little as a few weeks, we're able to move them into a situation that have absolute clarity on exactly what they need to be doing both now and in the future. We're able to take care of putting together all the building blocks for them because we're a one-stop shop for everything that real estate investors and entrepreneurs need. And you can just see that the peace of mind and the and just the kind of the relaxed energy that they now have at the end of that process is just quite a gift for me to be able to give that to other people. And that's why I love to do what I do.
I see. I absolutely understand it. So if you were to go back into time, you become an entrepreneur, what would you do differently?
I'd probably just relax a lot more, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that I thought I had to work a ton and all the time to be able to make things happen. And that's not really the case. The reality of the situation is that if you just really focus on the one to two main things that need to happen to move, and you can know what those are, then you're going to be fine. The tricky part is probably knowing what are the two things that you need to focus on.
Exactly. It's why you spend a lot of time before you really know what the things are. If your business collapsed today, what would you do next?
I don't know. I mean, I could start a new business probably, I think, relatively easy. I could probably go back into real estate investing as a full-time endeavor and not worry about law. I'd also really, I have a travel van. I like a converted Mercedes Sprinter. Mm-hmm. I'd probably just take my dog and go travel around the country for a year, you know, and go do that.
Okay, I see it. So now, for now, do you still active investor or you just do
I'm actively, I'm usually in about 10 different states at any given time and just about every asset class with real estate. And I do some angel investing in other people's companies as well too. So combined with some coaching for entrepreneurs.
Okay. Do you invest only in the United States or you also think about doing it overseas?
I've been seeing a lot more interesting opportunities overseas. I'm very cautious though to go overseas just because it's, I would want to be able to invest enough capital if I went overseas to make it worth all the trouble, you know?
Yeah, and actually, it's also one of the methods of protection of lawsuits, be investing in another country.
Well, that's one of the things we'll do too, right? So for a lot of our clients that are higher net worth, let's say above like 8 million net, in total asset value, then we start to look at foreign trust structures. So to be able to move all the assets offshore, and then once you move them offshore, then you have to invest them outside of the jurisdiction in the United States. So then that's where contacts that I've developed with the Swiss bankers and other investment agencies, a lot of insurance companies actually are really deep into where to put money. They're coming through for some of the contacts I've made through Nevis and other out of the United States jurisdiction places, but it's very, very interesting. And the returns you can get are quite nice, actually, outside of the US.
Yes, it's exactly how I started. I just started, I don't know why, it's since the very beginning, I started to invest in different countries. I don't know, because maybe I was interested to see the different possibilities, advantages that each different country had. And it's just because it became like this. It was my strategy from the very beginning. So I'm telling it because I know that United States people prefer to stay inside of the United States and invest only in U.S. market. And I was telling that if you just go outside, you can protect your assets, and there are a lot of different advantages when you invest in overseas. So if your business collapsed today, what would you do next?
I mean, if it collapsed today, I'd probably, you know, either start a new company, get back into real estate investing, or go on a really long trip, a van trip, and just go enjoy spending some time traveling around.
Yeah. Okay. How would you start over if you had no capital or little capital?
I'd probably just go hit up all my friends and find a good deal, hit them up, make money off of moving their capital into the deal I'd find.
Okay, so it may be something like wholesale and something.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a million ways to do it, right? I could either syndicate a deal, I could wholesale something. I could just raise money to be able to restart like a new firm. I mean, it would really depend upon the circumstances at the time. But at the end of the day, if you run out of money, what you do is you go find the people that have the money and you ask them, what kind of deals are you looking for? And then you just go find those deals and you take a cut at whatever that they do. Whatever they tell you that you need to go find, you just go learn that business.
Yeah, I'm asking it to show the future businessmen, investors, that is actually not as difficult as they think. You see?
Yeah.
You see, it's something easy. You just, as you said, just go and see where people with money.
People will tell you exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah.
If you just go to people that have money and you be like, "What kind of deals are you looking for?" they'll tell you exactly what it is. And then you know exactly what to look for. And then you just go find that. Like, it's not rocket science on how to do it. Like, investing is probably the easiest thing in the world to do. If you really want a challenge, go start a company. Starting a company is a giant pain in the ass. And it's really difficult to do. But like, just learning how to do investing, making $100,000 plus a year doing that. I mean, really, you can, anybody could really do it as long as you just add a little bit of work ethic and a little bit of brains.
Yes, it's not a rocket science, actually. It's everybody can easily fit into a real estate investment. It's an easy process.
Super easy. Yeah.
Absolutely. Can you please share a person that has an impact on you as an entrepreneur, or maybe you had a mentor? How did they influence you?
I've had a couple of people. So there was actually like one of my first major clients that I had as part of Royal Legal was the one that had pushed me to be able to go into like podcasting and into like the online sphere with doing a lot of sharing. So I've been on, I don't know, over 100 podcasts now, from Jake and Gino and Bigger Pockets and, you know, all of the major ones. Grant Cardone came actually on my podcast, the Real Estate Nerds podcast, and had an opportunity to talk with him. And I would say that was probably one of the more impactful suggestions that I've gotten from somebody, which was, you know, think differently. Don't think about how do you grow a small brick and mortar law firm in Austin. Think about how can you help everybody across the country.
Okay, thank you very much for this advice. People often think that business is difficult to start, as you said, and it often fails. So why do you think it happens?
Why do people fail?
Yes, why businesses fail?
I mean, they probably fail for a lot of different reasons, right? Inherently, I think a lot of people fail because that they haven't really, like, they're trying to play the wrong game, right? Mm-hmm. So there's like a whole spectrum, in my opinion, of like, what's the game that you can play? And there's all different margins at the game, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times what people do is that they fail before they even started. And they failed before they even started because they actually picked the wrong thing. They didn't really understand like the nature of businesses. They didn't really understand the nature of products or services. They didn't really understand a lot of those basic pieces, which if they would have read more books, that they would have been able to have a better understanding and they would have picked the right one. If you pick the right game, it's almost impossible to fail. And that makes it, it's a very different way of looking at it. But I think it all happens at the time of selection. Before you actually start your business, you should be able to know with relative certainty of whether you're going to have success or not.
Yes, maybe. And sometimes it also can happen in the future, bad decisions. For example, it can be management problems, in my opinion, in my experience, because also some people can start and develop pretty good way, but they can't scale. And they finally shut down. Sometimes they just don't like what they pick up. The idea, it was bringing them money, but they just don't are passionate about this business. They just don't like that business. So it's also will be a failure. And yes, there are a lot of different reasons for this, I think. What skills or habits do you think helped you to become successful?
I think mainly just listening. I think it's probably the most important one. If you just listen more, or the more that I listen to other people and the more that I listen to my employees, the more I listen to podcasts, like the better off I am.
Okay, thank you. If you could have one superpower, what it would be?
If I could have a superpower, what would it be?
It's a fun question. Really, yes.
I think that like the superpower I would like to have is just like overwhelming like power, like kind of like be like Superman, you know, because I feel like Superman actually like didn't really use his powers as good as he could have. Everybody, the Superman always came out to be somebody that was like always go out and save everybody, right? But everybody's still like killing each other and stuff like all around the world, right?
Yes.
Let me ask you this, Elena. What if Superman was actually turned into like a tyrant, right? And what he did is he would fly around the world and anybody that committed a crime, he would just like rule with an iron fist. And he's completely unstoppable. And he's ultra fast, right? And so then everybody, it would be almost like an evil Santa Claus that would actually have real consequences.
Yes,
and then everybody would have to like come in line because there's this all-knowing person that's super real and invulnerable and has like huge consequences if you do anything that's like against the rules, like you rob anybody, hurt anybody, blah, 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 blah. And so really, like, I think that would be the right way to be Superman. But he'd be hated and be evil, but he would have caused like world peace to happen at the same time. So let that brew around your head of like whether that person's actually evil or good, and it's tough to say, you know, but that'd be a cool superpower.
Okay, I see it. Yes, it's absolutely interesting point of yours about your superpower. Now, again, some interesting question. If you could go back in time and meet you when you were 18 years old, what would you tell him, this 18 years old self?
Just go have fun. Like, go do whatever it is you want to go do. And then just get really deep into it. And don't care about everything else. Just go enjoy whatever it is you want to go do.
Did you change a lot from your childhood, from this young person? Did you have a...
Sure.
Changes in your life.
But none of it's by design. You can't know anything. When you're young, you don't know anything. And like I think the lie that we tell ourselves as adults is that now we know something when we really don't. Mm-hmm. And we always think like, oh, now I know all this stuff. Yeah, we don't know any. I mean, I don't think I really know much, right? Like out of the how much I could really know, like of everything that's going on, how much I can really control, it's probably really small, right? And so that advice that I'd give to the 18-year-old is probably advice I give myself, which is, you know, just keep making sure you're enjoying what you're doing with your life, you know, stay passionate about whatever it is that you're working on. If you're not passionate about it, find something else to do because life is too short.
Absolutely. Just
drag through the dirt.
What are you not very good at?
You know, I like to have a lot of help with people that can monitor all of the details to keep everything running after I've looked at something. I'm really good at building stuff from the ground up and mm-hmm. being like, okay, cool. I got it all the way up. I got it running, got it profitable, got it, whatever it is. Right. And, but then I need other people to come in and actually maintain it. Cause I don't like to do the same thing more than once, maybe twice, but that's it.
Okay. I see you. So you have the ideas, but to follow the thing up, you need somebody else. So you hire this person or your partner versus person.
No, I'll do it for the first few times, but then mm-hmm. after the first few times, I think it's boring and I don't want to do it anymore. Okay. So then I have to train somebody else to have them go do it.
Yes, like most of the entrepreneurs, actually. What is your favorite way to unwind a hard day?
I usually just go for a swim with my dog or go for a run or something. Mm-hmm. I live here in Austin, so it's a super dog-friendly city. So for mm-hmm. me, just grabbing my dog and going for the trail to go for a run, getting out to the river, those are really simple things to go do. And just grabbing like a couple hours, you know, a week in at the end of minimum in nature has like a great rejuvenating effect for me.
Okay, thank you very much. Now it's a fun question. What if you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive? Who it will be and why?
So what three people, dead or alive, that I'd want to meet?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd like to meet Elon Musk. I'd like to meet Tim Ferriss. Who else would I like to meet? I think I'd like to meet Jesus because people like talk a lot about him. And I was raised like in a Christian household. And I'd like to know whether what everybody thinks about who Jesus was is like actually who he was. I think he's probably a really different dude.
I'm sure it's absolutely, yeah, it has to be something different. Yes, okay, so it's a very nice choice. It's a little bit audacious too. What would you speak about if you meet Jesus?
No, I think I'd probably just shoot the shit with him, you know? I think he's probably just a normal dude, you know?
Absolutely, I think it's this. So just the point of your discussion, I mean, what would you ask him?
I don't know. You know, I'd probably just kind of talk about whatever he was interested in at the time. He probably had some pretty good ideas. I'd probably see if he had anything that was like an interesting insight that I didn't have. I mean, I think that a lot of the stuff that he talks about is probably some pretty basic wisdoms, you know, if you just mm-hmm. go by like the words that he talks about. And, you know, I've done a lot of thinking, and a lot of study from a lot of different people. Of a lot of different thinkers around the world. And it would be interesting to kind of see what he would think about, you know, what people have thought about in the 2000 years or so following what he was exposed to be able to come up with what he did.
I guess it's nice. What is your best tip for making the world a better place?
What can I do to make the world a better place?
Yes.
I just do it on daily. I just try to do daily acts of kindness for people, you know, as I go around, and that's how I make the world a better place, is just one interaction, one person at a time.
Okay, I see. Thank you. So what are your plans? Where are you headed next? What is your next project?
Well, my next project is actually shooting a bunch of videos for our new ClickFunnels campaign. And so that's what I'm going to be working on. And we're getting pretty deep into like a lot of the ClickFunnels types of methodologies for how we do marketing and how we can help more people.
Ah, yes. Okay. So it's also linked to your main business now.
Yeah.
Okay. I see. So what is your best advice you can give to the listeners of the show?
Just read as much as you can and hang out with the smartest people you can. And then that's really it. Just do that. And everything else will work, sort itself out.
So networking and reading to summarize.
Just the smartest people. Don't network with stupid people. Only smart people.
That's important. That's important. And where you find smart people to hang out with?
Usually you try to hang out with the richest. I usually try to hang out with the richest people I can find. Because usually people that have wealth are people that have had to think through a lot of stuff, because wealth is hard to build and it's easy to lose.
Yeah.
So if people have been able to build wealth and hold on to it and they built it themselves, then they're going to be able to tell you or be able to give you insights just by spending time with them about how to get there, if that's something you're interested in. But whatever it is, if people, you find somebody in life that has whatever it is that you want and that they built it for themselves, and then you go hang out with them, and then you learn from them about how they got the thing that you want.
Absolutely, absolutely. So maybe you can share some negotiation tips, how actually you can mingle with this kind of people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really just having something of value for them. A lot of really successful people, and I'll lump myself into this category at the risk of being egotistical, but my experience has been that successful people actually want to help other people become successful, but they don't ever want to waste their time.
Yeah.
So the way that you show value to people that are successful is actually, one, asking good questions. Did you read enough and study this stuff enough to actually know what questions to ask that are actually interesting questions for somebody at that level? And then number two, did you take whatever information they gave you, did you do something with it, and did you report back to them about how what they told you inspired your action to help you, which makes them want to help you more?
Yeah, I think, thank you for this. It's very interesting, and I think listeners will appreciate it. What is the best way to reach you?
So the great work that we do is off of the royallegalsolutions.com website. So if anybody wants to see about what we do with asset protection or with real estate investors or entrepreneurs, how we create anonymity with ownership of assets and companies, that's a great website to be able to find out. It's the royallegalsolutions.com. If anybody wants to connect with me personally, my email is Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at royallegalsolutions.com.
Thank you very much, Scott, for your time. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and see you next time.
Thank you, Elena. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a bye. Bye-bye. Okay, we hope you find this episode of The Roadmaps to Wealth useful, and you can find the show notes at elenamorel.com. Until next time, have a great week.
Once again, thank you so much for spending your time with me today. I truly respect your time, so I hope this was valuable for you. If you found it helpful, then please share it with someone else. And if you are a new listener, then thank you for checking out the show. And don't forget, you can find all the resources, links, and show notes over at elenamorel.com. So be sure to subscribe if you haven't already, so every podcast gets sent straight to you and you don't have to go searching for it. See you next week on the Roadmap to Wealth show. Bye for now and have a great week.